Thanksgiving, I'm just so grateful for so many things. But when I think of our church, there's no place I'd rather be than Thanksgiving Eve than here with the people of God. Almost every day I connect with somebody in our church that reminds me how blessed we are and how special it is to have what we have in our church. And I sincerely mean that. And so I just treasure all that God has done in our church over the years. I think back, it seems like forever, but every year more things for which I am completely grateful. And so one of the things that I wanted to do for this Thanksgiving Eve service is introduce you to some of the people for whom I am the most thankful for, and my teammates here at the church. And so I've asked each of them if they would share a little bit about what they're thankful for this year. And Dave Nars here, our worship minister, Dave has been around forever. Literally, he's old. But he's involved in every facet of ministry. His family is television royalty. Basically, his family invented the game show format, and so you'll see the name Nars all over old game shows and stuff. So he grew up in that, but as a part of the Jesus movement, as a musician, as somebody who ultimately became a construction guy, always involved in worship as well, and we're so blessed to have him here. He's the one that kind of checks in on every part of the building. As every time it rains, he's figuring out why it's leaking. There's so much that he does, but it's rare to find someone who has a heart for worship who isn't in love with their own personality and their own voice. And he's truly a humble guy, but who leads us in worship faithfully and is always happy when somebody else is doing it as well. And so, Dave, what are you thankful for?
Well, thanks. I appreciate it. Beyond my father and uncles and game shows, my grandfather, he made a living playing music. He was a concert pianist, and he did music scores and motion pictures in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. So there was always music in our house. Every Christmas, he would play piano, and we'd sing Christmas carols. And I was so thankful when I got saved that God uses music, that when I was at a church in Las Vegas, Pastor John Michaels there said there's three folds of worship. There's worship in the reading of his word, gathering together. There's worship in giving of our finances, our tithes and offerings. And there's worship in praise and singing. So when I got saved and I found out I could still play my guitar, I was very thankful for that. And I was reminded about the emotions that sometimes music does. Yesterday I was invited to go to a concert. Richard, who comes here, had an extra ticket to the Coach House, and there was a band there. They're all from the Ukraine and Russia, but they play music from Chicago, Tower of Power. You know, they have a horn section. They're on YouTube. It's phenomenal. And they're singing it like word for word and note for note. And I'm sitting there singing 90% of these songs and knowing 90% of the lyrics because I grew up listening to that. And I'm thinking, when we get to heaven, I know there's no tears in heavens, but I keep thinking there's going to be songs and praises that we're singing to God in the presence of Jesus and God that are going to spark remembrances of our lives when God did something in our life. And I look forward to that, because even now, sometimes I'll sing a song, and in the middle of it, I'll hold back a tear because it reminds me of something. And I'm so thankful that God uses that music. I'm thankful that I can play it here.
All right. And we're so thankful to have Dave as a part of our ministry, for sure. Dylan Pratt is another one of our pastors. He's one of our youth pastors, and he just recently got ordained. But Dylan, we love Dylan. He grew up here. That's the best. When you've known somebody since they're a kid, and you see them walking with the Lord and being an example to others, and he's just... You see Dylan around the church, he's like a magnet because he's real and he loves God and he loves people and he's really smart. He has this mind like a trap when, you know, the details that he remembers, it's always fun. He has a great sense of humor, which obviously anyone without a sense of humor would not last here. And He does. But Dylan, why don't you come up and share what you're thankful for?
Thank you, Dave. This past year, especially because if I don't know any of you guys, I work with junior high, high school, and this past year we started a new young adults ministry. And the more I've taken onto my plate, the more I realize I could not do it without any of you guys. First and foremost, I have an amazing group of leaders and volunteers who are here every single week to serve the kids, to take them to ice cream, to pick them up, to come to church. We're always checking in on them. Unfortunately, I'm only seeing a few of them here, but make sure, Elliot, tell everybody else too, like all these guys, Elliot, I see Jeremiah, Annika, Jonathan, Nathan, like you guys really make the youth ministry. It's like this, we did for winter camp. We did our own winter camp. We went up to like, it's called like LeBec, but it was right near like Six Flags. So we took the kids up to Six Flags for a day. We put on our own camp. Justin came up and taught. We had a band, but it's like, I cannot do a camp by myself. I could take the kids to Forest Home. I mean, that wouldn't be easy, but I could possibly do that. But putting on a camp like that, I could not do with each and every one of these leaders. Not only that, like this whole year I've realized, like, man, how much everyone here does. Like, you guys have been into the student center all the past year. We've always had this very low-hanging drop ceiling that was always the bane of Justin and I's existence, because it always made the room feel like super small, super closed in. So we're like, hey, what if we take out that drop ceiling and it turn into a full-on construction project? And it's like, again, I can like, hey, kids, come help out. But like, it's one of those things I could never do by myself. We had Dave Nars, I'm not sure where he went right now. He was here like every day for like 10 hours. And like, he's my dad's age. The stuff he was doing was crazy. Like, he was here till like 6-7 o'clock at night working hard. Jeremiah Anderson, like not only was he here during that, but like after the room's all done and painted and complete, the fun part is putting everything back. And Jeremiah would come, he works overnight, he'll help me put the lights back, all the wires, the TVs, the computers, like for like probably like a good amount, like 2-3 weeks of straight like work. Like, that dude was just doing everything. And like, not only that, like during the construction project, all these kids during their summer vacation coming by every single day from like 9 to 5, they could have been anywhere doing, hanging out at the beach, just enjoying summer vacation, but they spend this time here hanging out at church, doing so much work for the church. It's like, man. And honestly, you see that throughout the church all year. When we have VBS, Fall Fest, the amount of stuff that we are able to do because of you guys, because of the volunteers, is like, you realize like how much bigger the body really is. It's like, it's not about us. It's because of the people who are like, hey, you know what? I'm going to step out and just be willing to serve, to be willing to make a difference. It's like also like all of our amazing ushers. These guys, they get here every Sunday at 7 a.m. and they're spending all day till after church helping me clean, pick up bird mess, all the trash. Like, these guys, they work super, super hard. And it's like, this past year, I've just been really thankful and blessed by all of you guys. Like, sincerely, we've got an amazing church body. We've got an amazing church that we're a part of. And if you're ever interested in serving, like, just take that step out, because you never know what God can use you for.
In case you ever wondered why God invented ADHD, it's so that we would have youth pastors. Another guy that's been with me from the beginning, he actually worked for me over at Calvary Costa Mesa and came over here. And in a lot of ways, Kenny Krikak is the heart and soul of our church. Most of the rest of us are introverts, but we needed a designated extrovert, and that's Kenny. And he connects with everyone, knows everyone, gets everyone else involved, can always find something for you to do. And more than anything, he represents the heart of what a pastor should be and what a church should be. And I'm just so grateful to have Kenny. And Kenny, you come up and talk about what you're thankful for.
Thanks, Dave. By the way, Dylan enjoys poetry, long walks on the beach, and is currently single. So, I'm thankful for my lovely wife, Lindsay, my awesome daughter, Chloe, and her awesome dog, Lois. And thankful for Pastor Dave and this amazing staff. We have so much fun here, and it's just such a blessing to work here. Very thankful for you guys, the congregation, doing the counseling here. I really get to see your lives up close and walk with you through difficult times, and to see your growth in the Lord has been a real faith builder for me. And also all the volunteers, what you guys do is amazing here. Like VBS and Fall Festival, which Kim headed up and made happen. So thankful for you, Kim, and all you guys, yeah, who... What you do here is absolutely amazing, and I want to thank all the volunteers ahead of time who are going to come this Saturday morning to help us put up the decorations as well. I'm also thankful for a prayer request that I prayed for all year long that was heavy on my heart, and God answered that prayer early this month in a big way, in a bigly way, and I'm just really grateful for that. And also, I know it sounds random, but I'm thankful for Hal Lindsay, who went to go be with the Lord Monday night. The reason why is because my brother Paul was backslidden, and we were praying for him for years. And he came to church. We were going to Hal Lindsay's church at the time. And he came to church as a gift to my mother on her birthday. You know, you can guilt your kids into doing things on Mother's Day and your birthday. So the one day he came to church, Hal had just got up to the podium and said that the FBI was at his house the day before, letting him know that he had been put on the PLO hit list. And because of his stance on Israel and speaking out against the PLO on national television. And so he said to pray for that the Lord would provide like bodyguards and security for him. So my brother said, I'd be happy to go like talk to him and help him out a little bit. So we brought Paul up and introduced him to Hal. And Hal brought him home that day and wouldn't let him go home. And Paul's wife ended up moving in with Hal, lived with him for a year. And the Lord used that to disciple my brother Paul, bring him back to the Lord. Yeah, and bring his wife to Christ, to bring her to salvation. And God gave Paul an amazing three kids and amazing grandkids. And one of his, my brother Paul has since gone to be with the Lord, but my brother Paul's son, Kobe Krikak, is a teaching pastor at Rolling Hills Covenant Church, which is down the street from where we introduced Paul to Hal Lindsay in the 80s. And so just, yeah. So when Hal, you know, went to go be with the Lord and I saw that on the news, I was just thanking God for what he's done and how he just uses amazing people and just like you guys to minister to his people.
When I saw that Hal Lindsay had gone to be with the Lord this week, I immediately thought of Kenny's brother because he's gone ahead of Hal. He went to be with the Lord several years back, but I thought Paul's already getting things ready up there, and he's showing them around and watching his back, and so it's a blessing. Everyone has different gifts, and Paul's was a gift that you would normally just think, okay, you're good at spying on people, threatening people, shooting, and you're like, how do you do this for the Lord? Well, he knew how, and he did, and so I understand. What a blessing that is to know that he's with the Lord and that Hal Lindsay, who was so instrumental in bringing their family together, was as well. So that's great. Another one of our pastors kind of grew up here. Justin, as you know, shares in the teaching, but also oversees almost everything else that goes on in the church. He's a guy that if I come up here and keel over dead, then Justin pushes me out of the way, and he'll teach the sermon that week. But Justin's a guy who, as far as I'm concerned, he's the best Bible teacher that I know. Not counting me, but, you know, that's not fair. But he teaches the Bible faithfully. He doesn't just come up with a message that he ripped off from somebody else. He does original thinking as he studies the original text and prays about it and works through his messages, and he's just become outstanding. At the same time, he's somebody who's good at overseeing what other people are doing and letting other people have particular roles. He's not an egotist, which, believe it or not, in ministry, it's rare to find people who aren't, you know, into self-promotion. Justin's not that way at all. Every time he teaches, I'm here if I'm in town, and I usually am, and I just go, well, these are messages that speak to my heart from God. And so, and again, I'm so grateful for somebody. You can watch them growing up and seeing what they become. It makes you feel like the church is really doing what the church is supposed to be, and that we don't have to get hired guns, that we grow our own, and they do what, you know, God is leading us to do. So, Justin, you want to come up?
That was way too nice. I don't understand. Gosh, I get nervous every time I'm up here. Yep, it is. My hand. That's one of the things I'm really thankful for is Dave is so gracious to me, yet at the same time, he points out things and areas I can grow in. And that sounds like, you know, like every kid doesn't want to hear that from their parent, like, how can I get better at something? But to me, I relish that because I realize how amazing of a teacher he is and how faithful he's been in ministry and how many people that has blessed and how God has used that. And I go, gosh, if I could be used in 1/1000th of that way, I've lived a great life. And so I'm going to take my hand out of my pocket. I'm going to try not to say, he's taught me a lot of, it's just natural. Sorry. I'll cross my arms. There it is. Yeah. I almost anything he tells me not to do, I immediately walk out and do it. That service. I walk out and I say, yeah, I say sucks. I say, I put my hand in my pocket. But it brings up a point that I'm really thankful for, and each of the pastors has kind of shared this because we have this special role where we love you guys so much, but you can't grow without grace. And I realize I'm in a position of growing as a pastor, and you guys are so gracious as a church. I can come up here and put my hand in my pocket. I can, you know, say, I can do all these things. And it, you know that I don't mean it in a negative way, but you guys are so gracious. And to have that, I think for each and every one of us, we're so blessed. I'm just going to put it on my hip now. I look really weird. But as a church, we are so blessed to have an environment where you can grow in grace. And you don't have to be perfect. Every single one of you, when you walk in here, I know you're like me. We're just taking it one step at a time, and we're growing in grace. And to not have to dress perfect, to not have to look perfect, to not have to pretend to be something you're not is something so special. And I think that's really something I'm thankful for about our church. I was talking with my wife about that the other night. We're going, gosh, I don't think I could ever go to church anywhere else because nobody's this gracious. I mean, you can't just be you. In so many places and so many churches I've been to, it's a show. You don't want to show that ugly side of you, but I love that you guys are that way, and I love that I can be that way, and I thank you for allowing me to grow. I'm so thankful for Pastor Dave and Pastor Jerry. They're kind of like my two dads, I guess. That's kind of weird to say, but they just, they're always there for me. They always point out, encourage me and help me grow. I'm so blessed to have an awesome family. My kids back there, my wife. Being a pastor is tough, and being a pastor's wife is really tough because there's a lot of expectations and a lot of things that people hope you'll be or expect you to be. And I just love that my wife, she doesn't live up to those expectations in that sense. She's just happy with being herself and happy with coming to our church. And we love our church because of that. And my kids, they're smart. They love the Lord. I can't ask for anything more. I thought of one thing that to me has been a difficult, but you guys hear me share a lot of stories during my messages, and I almost am always sharing about the house we bought 2 years ago, right? From the chip tile to whatever it is. But I went through this week and I was thinking, gosh, this house has been such a pain in my butt. This thing is one thing after the next. The first rain of the year when we bought this house, the roof started leaking. There was dead rats in the fireplace. There was all these things. We bought this decrepit, it was the money pit, you know, it was just everything that could go wrong. And so I started thinking this week of all the people just from our church that God put in my path that have helped me out over the years. And I came up with a list of over 15 people that have driven to my house, showed up, and helped me with project after project, from the guy that helped me put in an air conditioning unit, to Dave Nars, to Doug, who helped me with the tile, to Ryan, my friend, to Tyler, who helped me with the pool. And I just went through and I go, wow, that is so cool that I'm part of a body. Even though I'm a pastor, I'm part of a body where these people bless me like that. And so I'm so thankful for that, that we have a roof over our head, that it doesn't have holes in it. And it's a special thing. So I'm really thankful for, number one, that we have that house. Number two, that there are so many special people that bless me in special ways related to that. And I'm also thankful because I see this as a teacher in looking at the ministries here. I'm thankful that we have a select group of people, a special group of people, and I think they're people that don't like to be brought up. They like to serve in the back booth there, but they're people that have a really cool ministry of helping to get the word out. And they might not be the mouthpiece that gets to talk about it, but they certainly are the people that make sure that you get to hear the word. From Chris Matthews in our sound booth, to Jen, to Carrie, to all of our video team, John Adams and Mann and Jerry and Chung. And we have Eric Van Dusen, who takes the CDs every week that we have in here, and he spends hours, you know, replicating those and putting them online. And already he was sick this week, and I got a bunch of emails from people going, hey, Pastor Dave's message isn't online. And it's like, that's how important that guy is. Every week he takes that CD and he gets it ready for you so people can hear the word. And from Curtis, who gets the video online, I'm just super thankful that we have people that do a job that isn't glamorous, isn't shiny, isn't what, you know, they don't do it because of that. They like to sit right behind that little level there. And, you know, you see their little eyes when you walk out, and that's awesome. I'm so thankful for them because they really get the word out and make sure that all of us can hear the word when we're at home or wherever we're at. And so I'm thankful for that team and really particularly praying, thanking God for them this year. That's it. Thanks.
I love the way our church reaches out beyond our church as well. And I wanted to mention, all of our pastors are involved as chaplains in the community with various police departments and fire departments. And, you know, it's like, I love that. They're not paid for it. They're not paid extra. They're doing it on their own time. But they really have a heart to serve God. And they represent us as they are out there serving the community. And so I'm so thankful for that. And also, as like Justin was alluding to, the most important thing to me is that people come here and know that we really believe this stuff, that this is real. The worst thing in the world is for someone to represent God in a way that makes it look phony. And it's easy to do that. It's easy to begin to perform. A.W. Tozer said, a person who tells a lie and makes it sound like the truth is dangerous, but even more dangerous is a person who tells the truth and makes it sound like a lie. And I truly believe that, and that's partly why, you know, sometimes we're all rough around the edges. You'd like to see us smooth it out, but I would rather have you see that we really actually believe this stuff. We really believe what we are teaching. We're not selling ourselves. We're not pushing anything. We're not promoting. We're just trying to represent the Lord. The last guy that I want to bring up, for many of you, some of you probably don't like Jerry. Jerry is kind of my romaine in a way. If you know about Calvary Costa Mesa, Jerry often makes those tough calls and those tough decisions. And he's a guy who I recruited to come to the church. He left the business world to come to the church. And, you know, I I believed in his heart and his integrity. He had been doing business, but also doing ministry and serving as a chaplain with Santa Ana Police for so many years. But mostly he would tell me the truth. And I desperately needed, as our church was going through, as it always goes through, challenging times, Jerry was the one guy that, and this probably sounds selfish, and it probably is selfish, but he was the one guy that I thought for sure was on my side, that he for sure wanted to keep me in the game. And honestly, other than my own family, nobody ever had my back or encouraged me to make sure I'm taken care of. Or, I mean, I have survived this many years of ministry. I hope I have many more years. You know, I'm 71. I'm hoping I can just keep going strong, but at some point you'll see me tailing off, and then I hope I have the graciousness to back off. But Jerry has kept me in the game in ways that I could never even express. And so I'm so thankful for him and his heart for ministry, his heart for people, his heart for the down and out. He does, you know, all kinds of ministries outside the church to reach those who are at the bottom rung of the ladder. And so I'm grateful for Jerry. I'm thankful for him being here, for him taking care of us and keeping us on a solid basis. And so, Jerry, you want to come up?
I don't know if you caught that, but Justin considers you to be his father and me to be his father. So would that make Justin our gaby?
Oh, let's go with that.
Just kind of an FYI, Dylan. At your age, every man could be your father. As you walk through our church. That's the beauty of being young. Well, you guys, I'm grateful for so many things. I'm not going to sit up here all night because I'm already cutting into Dave's time. But, 35 years of marriage this year to Elisa. Blessed by that. And Elisa is the reason that I can do what I can do. I mean, she's just totally awesome. And if you guys have met her, you would agree. If you haven't met her, I would encourage you to do that. In April, I had to go in for a surgery. And I had so many people in our congregation praying for me. It was such a blessing. You know, I had to go to Los Angeles and meet with a thoracic surgeon and his team. And what they were doing is they were taking out my thymus gland, which sits right below your heart. You know, so heart here, thymus gland here, right? And I'm like, doctor, kind of what's the downside of the surgery? And he looked me in the eye and he said, I could kill you. And I'm like, well, that's a tremendous downside. You know, and he starts laughing. And I said, how many times a year do you do this surgery? He goes, I do it about 5 or 6 times a year. I try to limit my exposure to it. And I said, well, how many people have you killed? And he said, none. And I said, I thought I would be a little bit more comfortable if at least you said one, because then you could learn from your mistakes. But when it came time for that surgery, they had assembled a team of 13 people to do that work. And, you guys were praying the whole time, and it turned out great, and I'm seeing the benefits of it now. But see, that doesn't happen without a church family. And so it's such a blessing, and you guys pray for each other, and so you know what I'm talking about. But it's a wonderful thing. And then, when we were on our way back from being overseas on the footsteps of Paul, I came back to a new little grandson. And that was special too. So again, so many things to be thankful for, but most of all, I'm thankful for you guys, and obviously I'm thankful for Dave. So happy Thanksgiving, you guys.
Thank you. you can see why I feel blessed just being here at this church, why it's going to be hard to ever get me to step down, because it's like I'm in a perfect world, and I love being here with you guys and being able to serve you. It's really a blessing. I'm thankful for my family, my wife, Anne. I couldn't have survived without her. Our marriage is better today than it's ever been, and I'm so thankful for her just being herself. She's a person who doesn't pretend to be anything other than she is, and I love those kind of people. But we're blessed with two boys who have two great wives, and we have three fantastic grandkids, and we're just overflowing with blessings. Everywhere we look, we realize, wow, how good God is. And every day at the end of our day, as Ann and I get together and hold each other and just talk about our day, we're just so overwhelmed with the goodness of God and how great and gracious He has been to us, way better than we ever could have deserved or even expected. Well, the scripture that I was going to share with you tonight is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, for sure. It's that whole chapter where Paul explains why resurrection is so important. And he talks about the fact that, you know, these mortal bodies can't inherit immortality. And so this mortal must put on immortality, that death or transformation is necessary, because we can't just keep going the way we're going. You know this. The longer you've been alive, the more you realize, I just can't keep going this way. I've noticed deterioration. And so, you know, more and more, I'm like, wow, something hurts, and I didn't do anything to it. It's just like, hey, you haven't thought about me for a while. Here I am. But, you know, life is meant to be, in some ways, disposable, or at least transferable. And so as Paul lays all of this out, it gets at the core of life, really. Because for every one of us, how we perceive our lives is based on how we perceive life moving forward. You can't possibly conceive of what your life means now unless you have a concept of life after this life. Because we all look and realize there are people that we dearly love who aren't here with us anymore. And when they die, a part of us dies. A part of us feels like, ugh. And that's life. Life involves the idea that we have expiration dates. But in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul is laying it out really clearly that no, death isn't something that stings. It doesn't need to. You don't need to look at death as the enemy, because Jesus has taken the sting of death away. Because when we lose someone and we know they've gone to be with Him, we don't have to feel like, oh, the world is just never going to be the same. Yeah, the world will never quite be the same, but in some ways the world is even better when we lose someone that we love, because we appreciate them a lot more, certainly, after they're gone. They've still left a part of themselves in us. We still sense them everywhere, but at the same time, we know that they are more fully alive than ever before in the presence of God, and we know that if we believe in Him, that we will see them again. And so Paul is laying this out to give them a perspective there in Corinth on the most important thing you need to understand in life is the fact that this life is transitory, but there's an eternal life that will continue on, and you will still be who you are, but moving forward in a whole different and more amazing realm. And so understanding the reality of resurrection is the core of Christianity. Now, if there was no resurrection, I'd probably still want to be like Jesus, because I think it gives you the best life possible. But Jesus was very clear that if you believe in me, even if you die, you're still going to live, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And so Paul said, it isn't just, wow, life is good, and then it's over. His life is good, and then it's better. And so as he lays this out, then as you come to verse 56, he says, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But verse 57, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. When it comes down to thankfulness, there's no higher level of thankfulness than God, thank you for giving us eternal life. Thank you for giving us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, because now I can live life and take risks. I can live life without moaning and groaning about, you know, oh, this isn't working and that isn't working and this hurts and that's difficult or that challenge is hard to overcome or what's going to happen to our country or whatever. It's like the victory is already ours through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is at the essence of Thanksgiving. And I would suggest that as we are thinking about what we're thankful for this year, start there. God has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So then what does life look like when you understand what you have to be thankful for? And that's where verse 58 comes in, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. And he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, knowing I love you, but God loves you as well, knowing that your life is permanent, that it will move on beyond this life, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. So if you're truly thankful, and if you understand the temporary nature of this life and the permanence of the next, you want to be solid. Steadfast, the word means seated. It's like you're there, you have a consistency, you are who you are day in and day out, regardless of what happens, you are stable, steadfast, and then immovable. Similar word to steadfast, but it's the idea that you can't get knocked off your game. I mean, wouldn't you love to be known as a person who is steadfast and unmovable? As somebody who's like, wow, that person is solid and consistent, and no matter what happens, it doesn't knock them off their game of who they really are. They remember who they are. They remember the reality of this life as being not the main thing. This is just the appetizer for real life. And so he says, if you're thankful for him, then be solid, steadfast, be unmovable. Don't be somebody that gets knocked off course just by something that happens in this life. Compare whatever upsets you in this life to the length of eternity and go, if you understand eternity, then what in the world can really knock you off your game? Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, the ergon of the Lord. That is, it's like the things that you do as if it's your job to do for the Lord. But always abounding is interesting terminology, because what the word means literally is overdoing it, like overworking yourself, overextending yourself, taking yourself beyond your comfort level, taking yourself beyond your usual habits. It's one of the reasons why it's so great to look for opportunities to do something extra, to say, okay, I'm doing good, I'm good with my family, my friends, I'm doing a good job at work. But then there's an opportunity, you hear that, hey, a team from the church, they're going to go down and feed the homeless. And Curtis from our church, Curtis Smith, coordinates that ministry. And there are some people who just jump at the chance to get up early in the morning to just go and feed people. That's extra. That's not like, no one would say, if you don't go with Curtis to the mission, you're just not a Christian. No, you're a Christian. But if you really understand how temporary this life is and how permanent eternity is, then you begin to go, I'm so stubborn that I am going to overdo it in some way. There's not a better feeling than to have spent yourself in something that God has called you to do, and then collapse and go, how could I do that? I mean, like on Sundays when I teach, it takes a lot out of me, I'll be honest. I mean, there's a reason why people my age don't usually do what I do. And I have a continuous glucose monitor that I could never figure it out. I don't eat anything for breakfast, and yet my blood sugar spikes at three services. And a doctor told me, yeah, that's just your adrenaline from, you know, the stress of doing what you do. And so by the end of third service, my five-hour energy drink is wearing off, and it's like all I can do to drive home. And yet I go, God, this is my favorite day. This is so incredible that I have the privilege of doing what I do. And it's interesting because theoretically, Justin teaches giving me a break, but my blood sugar does almost the same spike when Justin is teaching on Sundays, maybe for different reasons, I don't know, but it's like, no, I overdo it. But if you're truly thankful to God, you go, where can I overdo it? I think of Kim with the stuff that she does with VBS and Halloween and all that kind of thing. It's like sometimes way over the top. And she's not on staff. She's a volunteer. And yet she just gets carried away. And she has a lot of medical challenges. And a lot of times I know that it costs her to do what she is doing. But it's like I couldn't possibly talk her out of that, because it's what she lives for. It's what she lives to do. When we understand the reality of how short life is and what a blessing it is to do something for the Lord, then we go, where can I overdo it? Where can I get carried away? Instead of going, I need to be really careful and not overdo it. No, Paul here challenges us. You understand the nature of eternity. I hope you can't just completely burn yourself out. You can definitely take this too far. But you should be designed in your planning to where are some ways that I can pace myself but overdo it in certain ways. It ends up often being those times when you overdo it become the most precious times. I've probably told you the story, but I always, for our baptisms at Corona Del Mar, I would always stick around and be there until Pastor Chuck was done and would walk him back to his car. And everyone else was gone, and I was still there. I didn't have to be. Nobody ever told me to do that. But some of the most precious times were, you know, when we'd get all the way to Chuck's car over the cliffs and somebody comes along and goes, oh, am I too late to be baptized? And I'd go, no, I'll go baptize you. And Chuck goes, no, I will. And he'd go back, this old man, climbing back over the cliffs, and I'm like, people are going to blame me if he dies on this cliff. But he overdid it. But do you think they remembered? Do you think I remembered? It was one of those times when everyone else was gone when I just had this thought. Like, you know, I was baptized when I was a kid, but I never got baptized by Chuck. And I was just thinking it. And I go, hey, Chuck. And he goes, I'd love to. And he came and baptized me. The best things in life happen when you overdo it, when you overabound in what God is doing. That's where the most precious opportunities lie. So always overdoing it in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, the word for work, ergon, means just your normal work. The word for labor, kapos in the Greek, is a word that at its root means cut. But what it really refers to is the pain and agony of doing hard work and injuring yourself to a degree, wearing yourself down. And so Paul says, when you understand how short life is and how long eternity is, and you see how precious this opportunity is, you will overdo it. And in reality, sometimes that's going to hurt. I know for me, in some of the most important things I've done in ministry, my family had to pay a price, others had to pay a price, I've had to pay a price, and yet, Paul says, when you understand time and eternity, then you understand that your injuries from overwork are not in vain. that those are things that God sees and he receives. And he understands, because let's face it, he set the example by allowing himself to go to the cross to suffer and die for us. And then he says, we have that same privilege. So I would challenge you to be thankful, but to also ask yourself, where can I push it a little harder? Where can I go a little extra? What can I do that's above and beyond? And if it hurts, that's okay. It's not in vain. It's not empty. It's precious. So I pray that you'll have a really special Thanksgiving. Where Ann and I are leaving right from here to drive up to Santa Barbara to be with Danny and Lauren and Amelia for Thanksgiving. And so you can pray for us as we're on the road. But I pray that your day will be really special and that you'll be really truly thinking of what you have to be thankful for. We're all so fortunate. We're all so blessed. Christians don't like the term, but we're lucky. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for what you've given us in our families, in our friends, in our church, in this country, in this world. Lord, may we walk with a gratefulness that understands some of the best things that we can do are to go extra, is to be a little more proactive in abounding in your work, being solid, not being knocked around just because life is tough, but sucking it up and moving forward and doing what we can do, knowing that even when we overdo it and it hurts, that it's not empty to you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, God bless you guys. Thanks for coming out.